the hearts, fill the minds, open the ears, open the eyes of every soul sitting here today, in Jesus' name. So in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and by Him all things were made. So we see, don't we, in the passage of Genesis, where this is lived out in the actual act of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, or void, and darkness was on the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. So here you have God the Father, Jesus, who's the Word that was in the beginning. The Word was God, the Word was with God. And there we see the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're all together, three in one. They never do anything separately. Even in calling Graham, it took the whole Trinity to get me across the line. And He did. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Spoken word. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God said. And then God said, let the waters under the heavens of the earth gather together into one place, and let there be dry land, and it was so. See, God speaks, and it happens. God speaks. God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind. We've got this most marvelous citrus tree orchard at TC at Strathalbyn. God spoke all of that into being. And it's there for our blessing. Then God said, let the lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let there be signs and seasons for days and years. What a beautiful day we are celebrating today. Isn't the sun glorious? The birds are singing. Ah, it's so good. And you see, God speaks into being. And it's often when God speaks that we also articulate what He speaks. I'm going to be a pastor one day. Actual fact, I applied to be a pastor through the Lutheran Seminary. And a very wonderful professor of the Word and so forth said, Graham, it's not for you. Why? My heart was right. My intent was right. He just said, nah, it's not meant for you. Oh, okay. Went away all dejected, thinking I'll never ever speak to people in church. Hello? God said. And here we are. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its kind, and cattle, creeping, and the beast of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. Then it came to us. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, the sea, the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over every living thing, creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created in His own image. Wow, God is a God of relationship, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. and it creates you for relationship with him and with others. Can we embrace the fact that there's not another one of you, praise be to God, that you are unique, your fingerprints are unique, your DNA is your unique. There is not another one of you. And if that's the case, how special are you? How special are you as an individual on this planet? And in Hebrews it says, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is man, what is Graham, that God, the maker of all the universe, was mindful of him when he was 27 years old, sitting in a valley, wondering about who he is, why am I here, where am I going, and then a vision of Jesus appears to me in this valley. And he's holding his arms open wide and he's saying, come to me, you're weary, you're heavy laden, learn from me and you'll find, I'm gentle and you'll find peace, peace for your soul. I wanted peace. I desperately wanted peace. As he reached into my heart in this valley in Upper Sturt, you've made him a little lower than the angels, Jesus. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You've set him over the works of your hands, and you have put all these things in subjection under his feet. You see, God said, Jesus, you're in charge. You're going to watch over all of this. You're going to watch over every individual, every human being. And by our spirit, you're actually going to come and dwell in every human being that exists that will accept the message of the gospel, the message of peace. How that happens is truly miraculous, isn't it, Ricky? Truly miraculous. From coming from darkness to light, the transformation from turning away from that old life to a new life is just amazing. There is nothing like this on earth. Nothing like it. We do have to put our trust in something greater than ourselves, because you know and I know we've tried to do it our way. We've tried to as hard as we can, and our pride, heaven forbid, pride is our biggest stumbling block. That, you know, why is it that love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself? Well, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But because of the fall of sin, Adam and Eve, because we're born into this sin, we're born straight into idolatry. I can do this myself. Thank you very much. I can actually manage this. Hang on. This is breaking down. This relationship's gone. I'm not together. Help me, God. Help me. God had to bring some power greater than our idolatry to ourselves for us to be free. AA talks about the higher power. AA was began with Christian roots. And AA, this higher power, we know is the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So, and the resurrection. Thank you. I want to know you're not falling asleep on me. But he is the way, the truth, and the life. And yet in Isaiah 53, it describes Jesus. He says that he had no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by man. A man of sorrows. A man acquainted with grief. And yet we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Why is it that we traveled all those years in addiction and we never ever stopped to go, what am I? This is ridiculous. Why did we never turn to Jesus earlier? Why did we walk through the valley and constantly see this get broken, that person hurt, this relationship hurt? And it takes us so long to wake up. Takes us so long to wake up, and yet we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. I had just imagined what it's like for Jesus as he's watching you walking in addiction. And he's watching, saying, when will you turn to me? Don't do that. My heart's bleeding for you. I've bled on a cross for you. Turn to me. But he'll never force himself. He'll wait until you're ready. He'll wait until you will repent. That is to turn away, physically turn away from the darkness, from the demons, from the substances. And you got to turn to Jesus, which is what he's waiting for, arms open wide. Yeah, he's waiting there, arms open wide. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. I want you to hear that. And by his stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. Thank you for the testimony of healing, whoever that was this morning. A physical healing. But there's an emotional healing. There's the soul healing that happens. See, it goes a lot deeper, doesn't it? There's this emotional, physical, psychological healing that occurs, and that Jesus, by his stripes, declares that we are healed. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned away, everyone, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You see, the greatest power had to be an unblemished lamb. It had to be a perfect sacrifice, one that would, of his own volition, would choose to lay his life down for you. You. He chose to lay his life down willingly for you. And when that revelation hits, why would you do that? Why? I'm no one. I'm not worthy to be a Christian. Don't hang on to that lie, because he's the sacrificial perfect lamb that could lay his life down to take your sin, to take my sin, so that he could take it where it belongs, so that you can be pardoned. You can be set free. You don't have to go into spiritual imprisonment for all eternity. He lays it down, takes your sentence upon himself so that you can be made free with his heavenly Father. He loved God the Father so, so much that he wanted his creation that they made together to be reunited with the Father. So he would choose to lay his life down. Are you getting this? Are you awake? Amen. Hallelujah. Say, give me an amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This man came in the first letter of John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, John, the disciple, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to the light. Here's your calling, people. It's the only reason you exist now, is to share the love of Jesus with your neighbor, to share the love of Jesus with your spouse, to share the love of Jesus with your children, to share with whoever comes into your life. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. That's what the Bible says. He's there, he's come, he's rescued you, he's taken the sin so that he can indwell within you by his Spirit, so that the true light, which gives light to every man coming into this world. When I see you, I've got to see Jesus. There are people that notice you without you knowing. And they often say, you know, they've got something. I don't know what it is, but it's like I'm two-dimensional and they're three-dimensional. There's some, what is it about you that you've got that I need, I want? What is it, Aaron? Amen. Come up and share.
Hello, everyone. I'm Aaron. It's funny that God instanced that Pastor Graham read Jeremiah 29:11. I wrote that down this morning. I was going to say that as well. So, yeah, God has a plan. God has a plan for all of us. He's been chasing me my whole life, and so when I was born, I was born dead. I swallowed my own poo and I died, and I was brought back to life by doctors and stuff. So, you know, God was there for that, for sure, 100%. So yeah, I grew up in a home with mum and dad and my sister, my brother, and you know, until about seven, I was 7 years old, mum and dad broke up, and I didn't understand why mum and dad broke up. Like, you know, I was the only kid, and I just wanted my dad, you know. And so mum gave us a choice, you know, either mum or dad, you know, live with one of us, and of course you're going to go with mum, you know. Like, I don't know, dad was at work, he worked away, he was a truckie, and he beat mum up a lot and stuff like that. But, you know, I thought that was normal. I grew up in, you know, and that was normal, drinking and, you know, seeing that fights and stuff. Like, my earliest memory of my dad and mum is dad bashing her over a washing machine and really hurting her and getting us kids to go in and kick her as well, you know. And he said, that's not hitting a woman, you know, it's and stuff. So it wasn't a very good start there. But, you know, that's life, I guess, when in that situation. And when mum left dad, I hated mum for a long time and stuff. So, you know, I started running away and stuff and doing some crazy stuff. But, you know, like, I'd jump off roofs and stuff. Like, I'd ride skateboards down school roofs and everything, jump off it, and like, didn't hurt myself, you know. Like, so God was there. Like, you know, I should have died a lot of times when I was younger, and God didn't want that. He's got a plan for me, you know, and I believe that 100%. So yeah, from there we went to a church. Mum took us to church and stuff, and yeah, so we went to the Revival Centre down at Woodcroft, and I was 9 years old, and I was basically put in a room and after church, and you get forced to speak in tongues. So you say hallelujah that many times that you will speak in tongues, and stuff. So I was gifted with the Holy Spirit, you know, like when I was 9, and spoke in tongues and was baptized because I had to be in that church. And then when they said if I was able to leave that church, that I would go to hell, you know, at 9 years old. And then Mum moved to Port Augusta. So we left the church and we moved to Port Augusta, and that was really scary for me as a child, you know, having nightmares of the devil going to kill me and stuff like that. But God saved that. We went to another church. Mum would pray with me and stuff, and, you know, God saved me, like, with that. And, you know, so I was in church with Mum, and I started playing drums in the church and stuff, really, you know, following Jesus and stuff, you know, like, God was good. But I went to church, and then I went to school, and, you know, played footy and hang around my mates and had girlfriends and stuff. I wasn't a Christian. Like, you know, I was faking a Christian. I was like, you know, I loved church. Don't get me wrong, I loved church. And, you know, I ran a Sunday school at church and stuff. I was one of the leaders there. I was a leader in the youth group and stuff. But it was like there was something missing. Like, you know, the Holy Spirit was there, God was there, but I wasn't there. I didn't want it. I didn't want that life and stuff. I just wanted to run amok, you know, with my mates and get stoned. And I came home when I was 13 years old and said to Mum, look, I've smoked weed now and I'm not going to change. I'm doing this and stuff, you know. Like, I went to church stoned every now and then. I'd still play drums and I'd get told off. But, you know, I was like, okay, I won't do that again. But, yeah, I ran amok that much, man. Mum couldn't handle me no more. So, basically, I went to the pastor's house. It was like, I've gone to the pastor's house, I was going to be homeless, or like, because Dad didn't want me. I went to Dad's and in Adelaide and lasted a week or two, and, you know, he just, you know, I got drunk there, stoned, and went to Sydney, come back, and he just kicked me out. And, you know, yeah, so that's my dad, and that's the person that I meant to look up to, you know, like. But anyway, so in Port Augusta, I left and I went on, you know, to pastor's house, and I started going being a good Christian and stuff. And then from there, Mum moved to Adelaide, and I just, you know, come back to Adelaide, and, you know, I fell away from God again. And, you know, but God always wanted me to come back. Like, I remember one time in Port Augusta, like, when I was living with Mum, I think the turning point from what, you know, with Mum was that I tried to hang myself, and I tried to hang myself in a shed. And, you know, because I was smoking a lot of weed and stuff, and I was looking in the mirror, and Mum pulled in at the exact time. Like, I've just kicked it off, like, I'm hanging there. I remember hanging there, and I see the car, see the thing open, and Mum's there. And I just passed out, and Mum woke me up. And it wasn't just Mum standing there, it was something else, like a light, like Jesus, you know, or something. And, you know, it was like I saved my life. And then Mum took me to the pastor's house there in Israel, and, you know, prayed for me and stuff like that. And I never really went to hospital or anything like that, or doctors and stuff, you know. Like, Mum didn't want us to be taken away or anything. So, you know, but Mum's good Mum. Mum's always prayed for me to come into Teen Challenge. You know, since I was 13 years old, Mum tried to get me into Teen Challenge. She thought Teen Challenge is a Christian rehab, and Aaron, you need to go. You need to get ready. You need to get well, you know. You've got a calling on your life and stuff. And she prophesied that from there. So moving back to Adelaide and that, and you know, just getting high. Like, the first time I went to school, I went and got high, and then I got on the ice, and then I tried to stab my brother. I was going to shoot him in the head, and that, I got kicked out of home, you know, 14 years old. And I went on the street, and, you know, it was pretty hard on the street, like, you know. But I kind of evolved into it, and, you know, at that time I thought I was great, and, you know, selling weed, being a drug addict, whatever, and going in shelters and having a lot of sex and stuff. I thought I was living a life. I thought I was a man. I was having a great life. You know, this is life to the fullest and stuff. Well, it wasn't. It wasn't at all. I was in bad addictions and stuff. I brought that violence from my childhood into my relationships with my friends and my family and my kid. Like, you know, my kid's mum's like, I had my first child at 18 years old. And I started working. I thought, yep, okay, I'm going to be a working man. I'm going to, you know, that's it. No more drugs. And so I did and stuff, you know. I was working for a couple of years, and I was about to buy a house. And I had good funds and good money and, you know, and that. And, you know, buy a business and applied for a loan. I was going to get a loan, 400 grand or whatever it was, like a bit more, you know, whatever it was. And the day I was going to sign that, I found my partner in bed with my best mate. So that hurt. That really hurt. I had two boys by then, and you know, I didn't get angry though. Like, that was spun out. I didn't get angry. I just went, whatever, and just walked away. Like, you know, and yeah, then I started going to church with Mum again a little bit, you know, and stuff. So I've always gone in and out of church, and God's always been like calling me to go back, to come back to Him. And so after that, you know, I had another relationship. I had a few more children, and, you know, stuff went down and whatever. And then, you know, I lost her, I lost my kids, I lost everything. So I don't have that either. So a lot of brokenness in my life. I didn't really know why. And when I was at a breaking point and I was a really bad drug addict and alcoholic and on the street and had a lot of, you know, criminal stuff going on and stuff, I was almost dead. I went into Dasa. And I remember in Dasa, they said, you go to different programs and that. So you go to things to help you, like go to rehab or this and that, rah, 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 whatever. And I knew I needed to go to a rehab, but I didn't know which one. So I walked into this meeting and there was Sarah sitting there. And she said, Teen Challenge. Now, I said to her, I need to go there. I'm going to die if I'm not there. I don't want to die. I need to go there. I'm coming. Can I come with you? She said, no, you can't come with me, but I'll put you through. You just got to fill out this form and this and that on the internet. So I did that. And then within 3 days, I was in Teen Challenge. I came to Teen Challenge and I saved my life. Teen Challenge has saved my life. So when I first went into Teen Challenge, I was a wreck. I was angry. I was crazy. I didn't talk to people. I wouldn't sit up here and talk. You know, no way I could do that. No way. And so God called me there, and I didn't know why. I didn't know who I was. I was lost. I was a broken man, really broken. So that was the first time I went to Teen Challenge, and I lasted 3 months, and I was getting better. Like, the light of God and Jesus is powerful, really powerful. And it scared me. It actually scared me, because I was walking in the devil's playground, and to go into the light, it was like, wow, man. God, you are good. Like, what is this love? Like, I've never felt love before. I've never known what love was, man. And to get love from my people there, from the brothers and that, and from the churches and from the people around, it spun me. It was foreign to me, because I never had that love. Like, I thought love was just, you know, having, you know, relations with a woman and just whatever. And I had, you know, love to me was when I had my first kids, obviously. That was love, unconditional love, you know. I'd do anything for them kids. They're my children, you know. I love them to bits. That was love. And then the love of God is even better than that, you know. And that's what spun me out, is the fact that the love of God is bigger and better than what I could ever give my children or give anyone. Like, it's unconditional, you know. And then I left. So I left Teen Challenge, and, you know, I come back. Like, 3 weeks later, I come back, and I was like, you know, I need this place. And then, you know, I left again. Like, I left again after 3 months. I was like, oh, I'm ready. I'm good. You know, I'll be all right. You know, first day I was out, I had a drink and stuff, you know. Like, I've started going to church and all that with Mum and that. And I was talking to Mum Bible. I'd talk Bible. Like, I'd get drunk or whatever. And I would just talk Jesus. You know, I'd talk Jesus to people. And they'd be like, Aaron, we don't want to get drunk with you no more. You know, you just get all religious on us. It's like, okay. That's all right, no worries. Yeah, no worries, man. But was it good? They're like, yeah, well, yeah. You know, so, and then I started working and stuff, and I lived with my brother. Like, so, you know, started seeing my kids again, my older kids and stuff. And but I had this thing, you know, when I started drinking every day after work and that and whatever, you know, I thought that was what you do, you know, you just work and drink, whatever, you know. God's still there. I still love God, whatever. Went to church and stuff. But I had this thing, it was in my back of my mind. It was just something. It's going, Jesus was going, it was Jesus, had to be Jesus. He's going, come back. Come back to Teen Challenge and finish what you started. There's a calling on your life. You need to get there. You need to do it, you know. You need to come and do this, you know. It's like, okay, all right, nah, yeah, I'm good. And then I made redundant from this job, and I started going back, dabbling back into drugs and stuff. And I was on the phone to Mum one morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm pulling my eyes out, you know, not in a good way and stuff. And she said, Aaron, don't you think it's time to go back to Teen Challenge? And I said, you know what, Mum? It is. It's time. So I filled out the application. I got Jesse's number from a good mate of mine, and I even got Darren's number from the same mate. Like, and you know, on that Monday, I've called up, trying to call Jesse, and I've called Darren, and Darren's answered the phone, and I'm like, "Oh, hey Darren, it's Aaron Grierson." He's like, "Oh, hey Aaron, how are you? How you going?" And I was like, "I'll need to come back. I put an application for me," and Jesse was there as well. They put an application for me, and within a week, Jesse's called me up, and he's like, "Aaron, get you in. Do you need to go to DASA?" I'm like, "Yep, no worries." They're like, "We can get into DASA pretty quickly." So I'm like, "Oh, no, give me a couple of weeks. I just got to make sure I want to come back and, you know, just sort out stuff for my brothers and my home." And so, yeah, I could have got in really quickly, but I gave that 2 weeks. That 2 weeks of just going, okay, do I really want to do this? You know, I'd sit there and I'd have a cigarette and a smoke, whatever, and have a drink, and it'd be like, "No, you don't need this, don't need this." Something would go, "Yes, you do." You know, it's just like God going, "Yes, you do. You're going back there. Keep going. Walk forward." You know, so coming back this time to Teen Challenge, I'm happy. I'm happy as a person. Like, God is really working in my life. He has come into my life, I've let him into my heart. I've given my heart to Jesus, you know, and he's working. He works. He works good, you know. My relationship with my children are getting better. I've started to rekindle that, reconnect with my family, you know, and I feel good. Like, I feel happy. I feel blessed from God. I feel like there's a calling on my life. I don't know exactly what it is yet, but a lot of people prophesied over me and said that I'm going to stand in front of thousands of people, or, you know, a few people, and talk about Jesus. And I thought I'd be really nervous today standing up here, but I'm not. And it's really good. And that's all God. Praise God. And so in Teen Challenge, you know, it works. Definitely works. And to give it a go again, and I'm doing the 12 months, you know, I'm doing more than that. Like, God's got a plan, and I've never realized that he's had a plan for me until I come here, and I realize that he's always been there, and he's there for everyone, and he loves us. Thank you.
The love in God is infinitely unmeasurable. I remember once when we had our girls program operating, which we don't at the moment, but one of the ladies there, she was caught up from an occultic background, and they used to whip her with rose thorns, pour alcohol on those wounds as part of their whatever. And you know what she said? "I just can't handle the love in this place. I've got to go back." I've never forgotten that. Wow. Every human being is going to stand before God, and his love will be, it must be going to be the hardest day of God's life. Those that reject Christ, God has even there made a place for them. Those that accept Jesus will be a joyous day for the Father. And the love that is, has to be supernatural love. Otherwise, Teen Challenge would not work. And it's only through Christ. You see, I was adopted out at 6 weeks of age. I was rejected. Came all the scars that come with that. Did my own stupid stuff. Nearly killed a person. Even that did not turn me from my sin. I kept going. Until the grace of God came and liberated me from my own bondage supernaturally. where I dry reached this confession in front of 100-odd people, and it was pulled out of me. I had no say in the matter. It was a supernatural confession. Confession is good for the soul. You see, and Psalm 139 is hence my favorite psalm. You have searched me, O Lord, and know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. And before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O God. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. It is incredible, isn't it? It's amazing. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, even there, your hand is upon me. I say, surely the darkness will hide me. We try and hide in our sin, don't we? I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the night become light around me. But even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. Darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You wove me together in my mother's womb. Wow, there's a connection point. I've got to work this one through now. You wove me together in my mother's womb. The lady that rejected me as a baby, 6 weeks of age. What's the connection here? I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. He knew me before the creation of the world. Wow. I'll say that one backwards. Wow. That's W-O-W. Anyway, your eyes saw my unformed body and all the days ordained for me written in your book before one of them came to be. The hour, the time, the place, the second that I gave up and asked Jesus into my life. He knew. He knew. Way back before the creation of the world. He knew. He knew. And how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake, I am still with you. Wow. Where will I go from here? This is the scripture that actually started today's message in me. And it's from Isaiah 43. Many of you know it because we sing songs about it. But this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob and Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. You shall not be drowned. When you walk through the fire, I will be with you. You shall not be burned. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I don't know what you're going through, but He's with you right now. He's with us right now. Whatever you're going through, He's got this. He's got it. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, Satan. Hand them over. You got no right to them. I'll say to the south, don't hold them back. This is how we pray for every one of these miracles that come through the narrow gate. Give them up. You've got no right to them. Your day is numbered. You have to stop. You have to get your hands off them because they're Jesus's. They're lambs of God. They are God's. You give them up. Hand them over. One trophy who got given up a couple of times is Tristram. Come on up, Tristram. We're nearly at the end. I don't know if you're getting impatient, but there's always the roast next week. Tristram, over to you, mate. Give him up.
Hello. For those that don't know me, my name's Tristram. For those that do, my name's Tristram. So I've been asked to give my testimony. I just want to start off opening in prayer because I'm worried about giving a testimony because you talk about the things that we've been through can possibly trigger people, and it steered me away from speaking about what I've been through. Just out of politeness, but I just want to pray that the Holy Spirit be here in this room today, that it just cover us with protection, Lord, that it delivers a message that is meant for good, Lord Jesus, and not to stimulate or to arouse anything from our past, Lord Jesus. I want to put the focus on you and pray that you're here and that you can deliver this message with peace in Jesus' name. Amen. A verse came to me just before when I walked in. I just want to read. It's James chapter 2 from verse 2, and I'll read onwards. Because I was thinking, as people in addiction, we come out and we focus and we heal and we get this better look on the outside, but up here, I'm still dressed the same, you know, sometimes. And God's really helped, but this verse came to mind. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and says, here is a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? And I love this. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? This is why our testimonies are so important. Now, I've been asked to give it once and again, and then I got asked, it came up again, and I'm like, I think the Lord wants me to get this, you know, down packed. And I went out this week with Tamara, and I said, I think the Lord's working on my testimony this week. And we went to a Bible study on Friday, and we were in there talking about, I just said hello in there, and then one of her friends goes, so, tell me your testimony. So, here it is. So, I come from England. I'm a very sheltered kid, very shy, very quiet. You wouldn't believe it to look at me, but this is the glory of God working inside of me. Justin knows. I've done the program before. This is the second time through. I have graduated the program. I got through it. I finished what I start. It's just what I do. But I was a very quiet, very sheltered person. I got autism. I'm working on that every single day. It actually, there's a saying that says, do you want me to listen to you or pretend that I'm listening to you? Because sometimes I'll be doing other stuff, but I can't concentrate on what you're doing. And all this is going on. This is hard focus, but I'm getting better. Everybody needs to get blessings. So I grew up, as far as I can remember, I woke up with amnesia when I was about 11, 12 years old. I didn't know who I was. I woke up out of my bunk bed. I'm like, what is everything going on? And I looked out the bedroom, and then my sister walked past the landing, and you walk past the bedroom, and then it goes around and downstairs. So I've come out the bedroom, and I've looked down the landing, and there she is walking, and they've said, good morning. I was like, who's that? It turns out that was my stepsister. And I went downstairs and seen the family, and I didn't know who anybody was. My mum called me over, and I had no idea who she was. I just had to take somebody's word for it that she was my mum. To this day, don't know why I woke up like that. Counsellors said that there's probably some traumatic stuff that's happened to me. That hurts somebody's brain that needs to know everything and figure everything out. So I spent a long time thinking there was something seriously busted inside of me, and I needed to figure out what it was so I could determine why I was like I am. And counselors said, look, you're just going to have to accept that something tragic has happened to you and you'll never figure out what it is. And that's terrible. But growing up, in the times that I do remember at home, it was abusive. My dad was abusive. To the point where I've grown up in church, I've always been in church. I did not know that there are people that don't know the name of Jesus. So I'm at Teen Challenge doing Bible study and getting asked questions like, what's a chapter? What's a verse? I'm like, are you kidding? I thought everybody knew what the Bible was. But we would go to church and be this happy family and get flogged on the way home. And it's like, so I was very religious, never a Christian, never a follower of Christ. I came to Teen Challenge last time and they taught me that, you know. I understood the difference between religion and Christianity with Christ is that, well, as a religious person, you do what you're supposed to do because you don't want to get punished for doing the wrong thing. When you're walking with Christ, and that's a relationship that I had with my parents, like, in comparison, the relationship I have with Christ now is like the one I have for tomorrow or you know, your partner, where you do what you're supposed to do because you love them, not because you're afraid of being punished. All that abuse put me in a frame of mind where this is who I am. I'm the little kid, and I was a little kid. I was about this tall when I left high school. So I had this image of myself that I was worthless, that I deserved to be hit, pushed around, punched, kicked, whatever. I watched TV, and you know how like you watch The Simpsons, and they've been the same age for like 30 years. I was so sheltered at home, that's what I thought my life was. I'm that big and I'm going to be that big my whole life. So I just thought, this is my life. I'm going to be abused the rest of my life. And I thought it was right. I didn't know there was any wrong in that, because although we went to church, I didn't know that you get loved. Right? You talk about a father's love. A father's love sucks, to be honest. You know, if I had to compare God to my dad, no wonder I ran the other way. You know, he was very abusive. I wasn't allowed friends. I'd bring friends home when I was in England. He goes, you can't be with that person. They're a hippie, you know, they're wrecking people. They're ripping people off. Or this guy, I brought a guy home and he goes, you can't be friends with him, he's black. And I'm like, what do you mean black? What do you mean? He's a good guy. And I didn't realize at the time, but my dad just didn't let me have anything. I don't know why. Maybe he was screwed up. I just have to accept that he didn't know what he was doing. I thought it was personal, and I've learned to let that go. I had no friends in high school. I was bullied at high school, picked on, to the point where when I was in year 11, I was still this tall, and a girl from year 8 came and grabbed my ear and twisted it around so hard that she got to walk me around a group of people that were laughing at me. And that's what I went through every day at high school, because I didn't fight back. You know, people say you've got to defend yourself. So I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to fight back. What if I hurt that guy? I don't want to put that guy through the pain that I'm going through. You can't perpetuate it. I've always believed that. And then you see verses in here, you know. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. You know, it's not an eye for an eye. If we all took an eye for an eye, the world would be blind and nobody would be able to see, you know. I was in high school in England, came over here, and because of my age, I was too young to be in high school, so I went and done year 7 again, then went to high school and then skipped year 8 because I was smarter than the rest of the kids. Then in year 10, they said they couldn't skip me any further, so I was doing year 11 and 12 subjects by the time I finished year 10, and that got me picked on a lot too. And I thought, you've got to do the right thing and you'll make more friends, and it was just hectic. I started making friends outside high school by shoplifting. I went to the shops and stole a chocolate bar. They thought it was the greatest thing, so I went back and stole all the chocolate bars. And I made lots of friends, and I spent years stealing stuff, and nothing to show for it. I didn't want any of it. Nothing of monetary value has any worth to me. This is, this little booklet here is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24, 26, 28, 30, 32, 34. This. Oh, this is a condensed version of my police record, by the way. It goes on, and this isn't the full version. I just happened to have that there at home with me, and I thought, this is my past. This is hectic. Like, I'm so freaking out about my future, and I was. I'm not now. Like, God can do miracles. He can do absolute miracles. That doesn't bother me anymore, you know, because God's given me a vision that I'm going to be opening up an orphanage and help kids. And it's so good. And then we're like, what about my record? It's like, well, God wouldn't have given you that vision if he wasn't going to make it happen. Because if it was easy, I'd do it myself. I can't do it myself. I'll do it with God. More about me. I've had suicide attempts in jail. I've got a scar on my wrist here. I sat there with a razor blade at night time and just carved away my wrist until I could see the vein. And at that point, I went, I have the power to end my life now. And I thought, I'm in control again, and I strapped up my wrist and put a jumper on for 3 days and just held it tight so it stopped the bleeding, and never got caught out, but that was one attempt, and I thought that wasn't a real true attempt. When my mum was alive, I wanted to kill myself. I drank bleach. I got a box of naphthalene poison flakes, and I mixed it up with water and drank, sculled it, then got a box of Ratsack and walked around. It was the happiest day of my life. I walked around and talked to everybody. I thought I'd be dead by the end of the day. Something happened. I didn't die. The poison that I mixed up in the kitchen was so strong that all the food in the freezer ranked of it. It got into the freezer, and my mum thought I was trying to kill the family. And I couldn't tell her that I was trying to kill myself. My sister ended up killing herself 20 years ago. And then 2 years almost to the day, my mum killed herself. And we fell away from the church, the Revival Fellowship. It was a toxic church. I love God, love that they love God, but like my friend, I've been friends with him for 30 years. I went to see him out of jail last week. He goes there. He goes, I'm not allowed people in my house that don't go to my church. You know, that's the Bible. That's what the Bible says, apparently. Took a lot of drugs outside of high school. To make friends. I was almost 19 when I had my first smoke, drink, and started as first bong. And then a random stranger on the street came and gave me my first shot of speed. He took me back to his house. He said he just wanted to borrow $50. And I'm like, yeah, I'll go get $50 off my mum. Don't know who this guy is. And he wanted to give me some speed. And he said it was a tablet. And when I went into his house, he told me to roll up my sleeve and gave me a shot. I got right into gear. Didn't know why it was a bad thing. Me and my sister used to love it. It's like, why does anybody ever want to give this up? I know, it's so crazy. Good, but it's not. It sucks. But it is a liar, and it gets into your head. This morning, I had a dream that I was trying to get on, and my dreams are getting better. And like, you can't control your dreams. You can actually, rebuke them in the name of Jesus. This morning, I had a dream, and it's like my sister's tried to get on, and this guy's just come up with his wallet and just smacked it in my face, which would have had his gear in it, and this, I could smell it. But the last thing I remember is the guy's face looking evil and going, yeah, you want this. And I woke up and went, I don't want that. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke this. Devil be gone. You don't have control of me anymore. Because the dreams, they get bad sometimes. I came to TC. I got out, and I left TC because I didn't let Christ, I didn't surrender to Christ. I learned so many verses. I did all my contracts. I had stuff all over my walls. And when I left there, I went and I wanted to know what this lifestyle was all about on drugs. And I can tell you, it's not good. I've always been isolated, and I've always used drugs on my own. And I never understood this malicious, selfish thing that where people rip each other off and just steal from each other. And all the... I'd never had sex on drugs. I thought it was a complete waste of being on drugs. I went to explore all that the last couple of years between I got out of TC in 2021. I went to explore all that, and I hate myself, hate everything about it. I hate the drug. Last time I was trying to get off of a drug that I loved using, I loved using it, and I knew it was bad for me, but I want it off. And Trevor said to me, the problem is that you're trying to fight your mind. You're saying you don't want something. You're saying you want something, but you're trying to stop using it. I hate the drug now. I hate it. I am not here to get off of a drug that I like. I'm here with a hatred for a drug to find a Christ that I need. And I came back to find God. And since being here, I realized that what I hadn't done last time was surrender to God and completely surrender. And I didn't know how to do that. So I had to pray and pray and pray. The Open My Eyes to My Heart, Lord, that song, I turned that into a prayer. And I sung that day in and day out for a week and a half, nearly 2 weeks, just constantly singing it. Not for the song, for the words, because I wanted God to show me what was on my heart. And then the same with surrender. When I didn't know how to surrender, I said, Lord, teach me how to surrender. If you don't know something, ask. Ask. Just keep asking. And I am saved now. I wear Jesus proudly on my chest, you know. I went to Wyala to see Tamara's family and Ricky's family. And if you think that you're worried about leaving your old friends behind, trust me. It is bliss when you are in a house and everybody is talking about Jesus. Mate, you don't think about all that, because Jesus got something fantastic in store for me and for you guys. Trust me. A house full of people from church that are talking about Jesus in one day, you'll get there. Whew. You wonder why he didn't do it sooner. All right.
Pastor Adriano, a bit of a heavy message today, but how you going? All good? Got 8 minutes to go, and then we're going to finish. Because I'm going to introduce you to a guy called Moses. Moses was a guy that God knew. Oh, hang on. Pause. Moses was a guy that God knew before the creation of the world. And Moses actually chose him. God chose Moses to save his people. Go back to the beginning. What's your calling? Your calling is to love God and to love other people. That's it. And he will speak through you however he wants to speak through you. So, there's an ending to this song, and it asks you a question. To whom or to what are you bound? Are you willing to give it to God right now? If that hits home to you today, whether you're in TC or not, I invite you to come forward at the end. I'm not going to lay hands on you. I'm not going to pray for you. This will be absolutely between you and God. I hope you like this little ditty.
For some of us in this very room, it's time to get up and do what we know we've got to do. The call's been there, you've heard it loud and clear. You've been afraid, maybe you're too young, or maybe you're too old, or maybe you're not ready. Maybe you're not steady. Maybe you've made too many mistakes in the past, so you shy away. Not me. I'm not the one. Hear this story. A murderer called to do God's amazing will. wilderness, way back there in the wilderness, saw some smoke came to the bush, and the bush was burning. God said, take off your shoes, Moses, 'cause you're on holy ground. Moses, you're gonna be my man. Moses, over there in Egypt land. Moses, you're gonna work for me. Moses, gonna set my people free. Not me, Lord. No, I can't talk so good. I stutter all the time. Do you know Brother Aaron? He can sing like an angel, talk like a preacher. Not me, Lord. Can't talk so good. And another thing. Lord, they want little Moses. But you know they never hear a single word I say. Maybe you better get your dirty work done another way. Oh, not me, Lord. Please. What's that in your hand, Moses?
Just a rod.
Throw it down, Moses.
Do you mean like on the ground?
Yep. God, don't take this rod away from me. Don't you know it's my only security? Don't you know when you live here all alone, well, a man's gotta have something that he can call his own. Please, Lord. Down, Moses.
But Lord, I
throw it down, Moses.
But
throw it down, Moses.
Moses threw the rod on the ground, and the rod became a hissing snake.
I know that I'd run too. He wasn't running from a hot rod. Running from a hissing snake. Running scared of what the Lord's gonna do. Running scared he'll get a hold of you. When the Lord said stop,
pick it up, Moses.
Have not lived here very long, Lord. I think you got the whole thing wrong. Don't you know that you never pick up by his snake? By his, pick it up, Moses.
God. It's a rod again?
Smoke and bushes. It's a rod.